This is episode 346 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, August the 22nd, 2011.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio, in your backyard, and worldwide on the pod.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
Why would anyone trust this government not to make a complete and utter shambolic mess of the national broadband network?
Which part of time would they like us to go back to? 1960, 1930?
Can you really give that guarantee when you don't seem to know what peak speed is? I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, great. Let's give everybody a case.
The future is here.
So now technology has caught up with reality.
Ever since Telstra was privatised, Australians have suffered.
Technology has had a huge impact on our love lives.
On air, on the internet and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello everybody, I'm Andrew McComb and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. There's no such thing as stability in today's high-tech landscape, and last week was no different. Hewlett-Packard, a company which until recently could have been called a rock of stability in an ever-changing world of tech, crumbled with the announcement that it would no longer make PCs and tablets, which all came as a bit of a shock, considering it had just launched its own tablet called the TouchPad. Last week also saw Google's operating system Android overtake Apple's iOS in smartphone sales in Australia for the very first time. In the 12 weeks to August the 7th, 42.9% of smartphones sold in Australia were Android phones, compared to 37.2% for Apple's offerings. The recent rapid rise of Android in Australia mirrors trends seen overseas and serves to explain some of the recent animosity between Apple and Android phone makers. But keeping in mind the pending launch of iPhone 5 in the short term, is this just an apparition in the space-time continuum? Other phone operating systems such as Symbian and Microsoft's Phone 7 seem to be on the decline, which is probably for good reason. Rivalry aside, Apple and Google both have a stable and reliable platform on which to develop tomorrow's applications. They both have their own web browsers, which work well with their respective phone operating systems. And it now looks like Google is entering the hardware game with its recent acquisition of Motorola's Mobility. Just in case you didn't know, Motorola makes Android smartphones, tablets, Bluetooth accessories, set-top boxes, DVRs, and an array of other powerful communications products that apparently connect people and simplify their lives. So it looks like the playing field is almost level, and the tussle to be the number one telecommunications company will soon be underway. It seems the only difference will be the cost of the operating system and how said operating systems interface with existing technology offerings from the respective companies. The deciding factors may come down to application developers and the return on investment for their hard work and effort, as well as consumer acceptance and ease of use of the hardware on offer. Like with everything technological these days, these scenarios raise more questions than they answer. Will we see a new class divide? Will there be two camps of warriors, Apple and Google? And what will become of RIM, Nokia and Microsoft?
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
HP decides to pull the pin and stop making PCs and tablets. Google's small screen operating system, Android, has for the first time overtaken Apple's iOS in smartphone sales throughout Australia. As well, Google strengthens their grip on hardware with the purchase of Motorola Mobility. Those ugly black Optus-style street cables are making a comeback across Australia. Desperate measures for desperate times for Microsoft, and Apple targets the Big Apple for counterfeit product. First up, here's Dr. Ron with this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio News Desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, two British men are jailed for inciting riots using Facebook. A Gmail address is revealed as being pivotal in the case against the alleged Sydney bomb hoaxer. Patent wars fire up as HTC files lawsuits against Apple. Netcom will supply wireless customer equipment for the NBN. And Sony cuts the price of its flagship PS3 games console. Welcome to Tech Talk News. Two British men have each received four-year jail terms for setting up Facebook pages with the aim of inciting riots 2 weeks ago. Both men in their early 20s from northwest England were imprisoned after setting up Facebook pages calling for unrest in their hometowns. Mr. Martin McRobb for the Commonwealth Prosecution Service told the Chester Crown Court last week that the Facebook pages caused significant panic and revulsion in the local community. The court heard that the pages specified dates, times, and places where people should congregate to riot. Both men pled guilty to inciting violent disorder. Cheshire Police said officers had taken swift action against those people who have been using Facebook and other social media sites to incite disorder. Some legal experts have questioned the severity of the sentences, describing them as being out of all proportion. A Gmail address has been revealed as being pivotal in the police case against the alleged Sydney bomb hoaxer. A Kentucky court last week heard that Paul Douglas Peters is alleged to have specified a Gmail email address in an extortion demand with instructions for the victim to transfer a large sum of money. Police allege the Gmail account was opened at Chicago Airport in May this year and accessed a number of times from different locations. The following from ABC Radio is an extract of court documents.
The first access took place at 4:09 p.m. on August 3rd, 2011, from an IP address registered to Kingcumber Library at Kingcumber, New South Wales. The next two accesses were 5:25 p.m. and again at 5:51 p.m. on August 3rd, 2011, from an IP address registered to the Avoca Video Store at Avoca Beach, New South Wales.
Police allege Mr. Peters broke into Madeline Pulver's family home 3 weeks ago and attached a device around her neck. The collar bomb hoax, as it has become known, made international headlines. Madeline's father, Bill Pulver, is chief executive officer of Appen Butler Hill, a company which develops linguistic and voice recognition services for Microsoft, IBM, Google, Nokia, and Telstra. Mr. Peters has been remanded in custody in the United States while New South Wales police apply for his extradition. In the seemingly endless patent disputes between software giants and hardware juggernauts, smartphone manufacturer HTC has now filed a lawsuit against Apple, accusing it of infringing three HTC patents. In this, the latest salvo between the two companies, HTC filed the lawsuit on Monday last week in a US district court in Delaware. HTC also filed a complaint with the US International Trade Commission. On this occasion, HTC is seeking unspecified damages and a ban to prevent Apple from using a number of specific smartphone technologies. These include the integration of a device's computing and communications functions, in effect the combining a telephone with a PDA, as well as the technical operation of a device's wireless capability, allowing for the connection of multiple devices via Wi-Fi. While these complaints might sound extraordinarily general in nature, HTC said Apple is infringing HTC's intellectual property and needs to stop its infringement of patented inventions in its products. BBC News last week noted that Motorola, Nokia, HTC, Apple, Google, and Samsung are all currently involved in one or more patent lawsuits. In the search for manufacturers of equipment in the deployment of Australia's national broadband network, Netcom has been selected to provide fixed wireless LTE devices for subscribers. LTE, or long-term evolution, is the next generation mobile data technology, which will provide access to the NBN for about 4% of Australian households. LTE technology will be used for premises which won't be serviced by a fibre connection, for example, those in remote areas. Ericsson was awarded the contract by NBN Co. in June to construct the wireless component of the national broadband network. NBN Co. expects this part of the NBN will deliver peak speeds of up to 12 megabits per second. ITY last week reported Netcom's managing director, Mr. David Stewart, as saying Netcom will provide fixed wireless LTE devices to connect premises to the NBN's LTE broadband network with a three-year window to complete, commencing from mid-2012. And has there ever been a better time to buy a PS3 games console? Maybe, maybe not. Last week, Sony slashed $150 from the RRP of its flagship PlayStation 3, with a 160GB console now priced at just under $350, while 320GB models will cost at just under $450. The price drop is effective from this week in Australia and most international markets, and comes ahead of the release of a PlayStation-branded 3D television later this year. Sony says its SimilView 24-inch display will let two people playing a game see individual 3D images and will retail for about $700. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
China is the place to have things copied.
Yes.
It's what happens over there. It's part of their culture.
Depending on what their aims are.
Didn't something like 650,000 people forgot to press submit?
Don't ask me what. Just don't ask questions, all right?
That won't get inside Facebook's networks in any way. It won't.
Pieces of paper still mark the milestones in our lives.
Squeak!
There you go. There she is. Anyway, despite vain attempts by my wife at turning off the microwave oven clock every night at around about 9 o'clock.
Some people are very creative and some people are disgusting.
It's a set because you can have more than one access point to the same network.
And they do that by swamping.
By swamping the thing with nonsense requests, yeah.
I don't know how Dr. Ron's going to go up there.
What?
No, not
no
Dr.
Way.
Ron.
He would never lie to me.
It's not spread spectrum like a lot of things are.
I'd like to talk about electricity. Do you use it?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
Nerd alert!
There we go. No idea what she's talking
about. Yay, my first nerd alert.
That's the first nerd alert, yeah.
It is.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Dr. Ron, can you turn that nerd alert off?
Hang on a minute.
There we go. Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. Andrew McComb here. Graham Callaghan also joining us in the studio this evening. Evening, Graham.
Good evening, Andrew.
Dr. Ron, who you just heard, you're back from the airport?
I am. I'm back. I'm showered. I've got a change of clothes and I've got a nice hot meal in my belly.
There's emails concerned for your welfare.
Yeah, there were. Thank you, everyone, for your concern. It's okay.
During the course of the week. And shall I say we have two men and half? Because she's half asleep this evening.
I'm up.
Fresh from... Where have you been?
Free play.
That's right.
Games Festival.
Two and a half men and half a gamer or
and
something.
Half a gamer. Two men and half a gamer.
Half a human.
Oh, half a human. Damn.
A player, is that right?
A player, not a gamer. That's right.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing about free play.
This should be good, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, dried out now. Back to normal, yes.
I'm sober, if that's what you're getting
at. Yeah, good.
At. Yes.
Had a glass of water before you came in and ready to rock.
Yes.
And your body didn't reject that.
It almost did. Thought about it.
Oh, dear. Well, it's been an interesting week in technology this week. I'm very sad by the passing of Hewlett-Packard. They've decided...
Not all of it, to be clear.
No, just the hardware side of it. They're going to do the software side and they're going
to... Not to mention the WebOS side.
Yeah, what about the WebOS side?
That's gone.
That's gone too.
Yeah.
G-O-R-N, gone.
Have you seen, I think Warlock was tweeting, Facebooking, G-plussing, whatever the verb is to spruik things, that one manufacturer, or one retailer was selling those things that Adam said you'd be very unique to own for sub $100 this evening.
Well, so much so that there was a queue in Sydney, I believe, and staff were coming out saying, everyone from this point can go home because we've only got about 500 units left and you're the 501st person in the queue. You're not going to get one.
I've seen a television program which has got similar sort of connotations. The Big Bang Theory, where the guys were queuing to go and see a movie.
It was Raiders of the Lost Ark, extra special extended version with an extra 13 seconds.
And Sheldon
or
was very disappointed.
Yeah, they missed out, didn't they?
He didn't get his ticket, so they nicked the film.
Was the same sort of thing today, apparently, at the front of the Harvey Norman stores around the country.
Oh, goodness. Oh, well. Beginning of the end. It's going to be interesting to see what happens now. It's a bit like Apple saying, we're not going to do hardware anymore. There would be people up in arms. Well, HP makes some good stuff. They'll probably sell it off. Someone will buy it. Dell comes to mind. But that's just rumour and speculation, don't you think?
Someone will pick it up because they've got a very large investment in that hardware.
Well, exactly.
They might just scrap it.
Terrific machines. We've pretty much all of that throughout the office. HP machines everywhere. But anyway, from a garage in Palo Alto to this... Anyway, moving on. We have correspondence.
We've got a truckload of correspondence.
Well, keep it quick.
Keep
10
it quick.
Minutes, if that.
My time starts now.
Off you go.
Hello to everybody who's listening on one of the fine community stations around the country.
What is
especially
that?
Especially on the...
Someone doing Foley. And it wasn't
you.
Me.
No. It wasn't me. May the record show.
Mystery Foley artist tonight. It's exciting. We're now on the community radio network. So hello to all the member stations taking us on the community radio network and wherever else you might be listening. Via Twitter... Jay Chatfield says to Dr. Ron, it's okay. I turn off my reading pain in Outlook too. Oh, thanks, Mr. Chatfield or Mrs. Chatfield. That's comforting to know. And Rob via the feedback form says, hi there. A quick note to say that Andrew, I think he means Ron, isn't the only human on the planet that views his email without the annoying reading pain. Cheers,
Why
Rob.
Why you pick these ones out,
thanks,
Dr. Ron? Are you looking for some form of karma?
Because these are important to me.
He's justifying his existence.
It's spin.
Terry via the feedback form says, hi guys.
Morning, 30.
Love the podcast. Listening as I drive around Coffs Harbour in N'swe.
Pardon?
I heard N'swe. New South Wales. I heard you were wondering who still uses a pager.
Yeah, I made the fatal mistake of asking that question last
week. And we got a lot of replies.
We did.
Well, I can tell you that the Rural Fire Brigade still use them. All volunteer firefighters have a pager. When someone calls 000, the radio room in Sydney looks up the area and issues a page to all firefighters to go to the fire shed. Then all communication is done via the truck radio. Also, a little feedback. Please stop calling everyone on the panel a doctor. It drives me mad, but I still enjoy the show. Cheers, Terry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's only room
for one. I've been stripped of my doctorate.
Only room for one doctor on this show, you'll find.
Doctor?
Doctor, you're on notice,
Ron.
Everybody.
Yep.
Primal via direct email. Primal's in the chat tonight. Come and join us, chat.techtalkradio.com.au if you're listening live.
In the chat.
And no, we haven't read your email yet, Primal, but we're about to. Hi, guys. I'm just listening to Monday's show while I'm working and heard the query of why you would use a pager over mobile phone. So Primal sent us a message about pagers as well. He says he's a member of the State Emergency Service in South Australia and they use pagers to contact the crew. Rather than spend money to contact unit members with mobile phones, all SES volunteers are issued with a pager, which is coded to receive call-outs for their unit only.
So is it safe to assume that only emergency service people use pagers these days?
We've only heard from emergency service workers, so maybe. If you're not an emergency service worker and use a pager, let us know.
Maybe someone tried to page us to tell them why they were using a pager, and we don't have one, so we'll never find out.
I'm trying to remember what my pager number was. I think it was, used to dial...
Did you have one?
Yeah, I had one for years. 016030 was Telstra paging.
Good grief, you've got a better memory
than
me.
Gee whiz.
Yeah. I think it was 34447. I think that was the number.
So you were the 3,500th pager in the Telstra network, were you?
I think so.
Wow.
I think so.
Who looks after those things these days? Is it still a telco or some...
Well, Telstra paging was...
Maybe it's part of the National Broadband Network now.
I hope not. I really, really hope not. Telstra paging was switched off quite a few years ago. They dumped their paging business. Stuart via the feedback form says...
Working?
I don't know. A question for Lena, gamer and mum.
Hey, that's me.
Currently... I'm an iPad 1 and iPhone 4 user, mm-hmm. wanting to jump to a MacBook Pro or Mac Mini server soon. Brackets, your thoughts, brackets.
Okay.
As the show's resident Apple fangirl.
Yay!
And as we approach Apple, see, it's not just mail for me that I read, it's mail for the fangirl as well.
Excellent.
As the show's resident Apple fangirl, as we approach Apple's imminent iOS 5 upgrade, what steps would be required to make this a smooth transition? As I've read, Windows XP won't be supported with iTunes and iCloud in iOS 5. That's true. That's correct, Stuart. The iCloud app for Windows only supports Windows Vista and Windows 7, not XP.
Windows 8 out next month.
So, yeah.
For everyone to play with.
Watch this space. And for the whole team to chime in, says Stuart, would I need to upgrade from XP to Windows 7? I think you would, Stuart. And secondly, could you explain boot camp or Parallels? Keep it simple, no nerd alerts.
Ooh.
Oh, queuing it up.
Getting ready. Boot camp, Stuart. I think if
any,
you've got...
Any excuse.
Just I'll be very careful and quick here. If you've got a Mac and it's got an Intel-based processor, boot camp lets you start your computer and you can boot into Microsoft Windows operating system.
Yep.
You can choose with boot camp which operating system you want the computer to start with.
Yep. And it's very easy, too. Very easy.
On the other hand, Parallels, I think, is emulation software. So it lets you run Windows, like a Windows desktop, inside an application or inside a window on your Mac.
Yeah, in a window, yeah. Windowed. So,
The technical term being virtualization.
Virtualization.
Ooh. As for MacBook Pro or Mac Mini, go MacBook Pro, I reckon.
There you go, Stuart. Mm. Hope that answers your question. I avoided the nerd alert. You can take your finger off the button now, Andrew. I've got through that unscathed. The regular Carl via the feedback form says, hi, team. Another great show last Monday. Thanks, Carl. And Dr. Ron's obscure Wayne from St. Albans reference was appreciated. Oh, that's nice.
Did you put one of those? That slipped past.
I did, didn't it? Not past Carl, though.
No.
He's got his finger on the pulse. I know your show
Have I won anything?
That's the one. I know your show's meant to be a lighthearted look at the week's tech news, but it bothered me a bit.
Uh-oh.
How the issue of children watching 3D was glossed over. It is, in fact, a serious issue, and more info needs to be available to parents before letting their kids watch 3D movies and games.
Oh. That was me.
Don't stop there. Go to 2D. I've gone rampage at the moment. Turn the television off. You do not need it on. It's fresh air out there.
So you've got 0D.
0D. Yes. It's met with a bit of resistance at the moment, but we're working through that.
Carl says, I know this all sounds serious, but widely available 3D content is very recent, and little research has been done on the real risks to a child's brain development when they watch too much reality-altering content. Kind regards, Carl.
What, yes, normal television.
Reality-altering content?
Reality-altering content. That's what
I
he says.
I take umbrage with that sentence.
Well, you can take umbrage with it.
I will.
If you just turn on any of the game shows on television, they're reality-altering content.
Win $30 million or something.
Yeah.
That'll alter your reality.
Silly.
Kind regards, Carl. P.S. No, I don't want a Google Plus invite. Good.
Give him one anyway.
I'm down to my last 150. How
Me
about
too.
You,
I'm down to my last 150.
Yeah. Give him one anyway.
We'll send you one anyway, Carl. And Bo, via the feedback form, says, "G'day, guys and girl. I download the podcast every week and I listen to it as I drive because I'm a mobile computer tech. I'm from Taree, New South Wales, about 4 hours from Sydney. P.S. I agree with all of Graham's rants."
All of them?
All of them. Thanks,
all of them.
Bo.
Every single one.
Well, that's because they're all absolutely spot on right.
Oh, wow.
So, obviously, a very smart gentleman there from New South Wales. So.
Where's Bo from?
He's from Taree.
Taree. Oh, that's up near Foster, isn't it? In Tuncurry.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. So, Matt, that's the coastal. It's just a bit further up.
Matt, via the Tech Talk Radio feedback form, says, "I had to laugh listening to Adam Turner's take on the census and his nostalgic view."
We did.
If he was really nostalgic, he should have filled out the census form manually, framed it, and then gone online to fill it out. I filled my form out online on Monday and then submitted it the next day. I'm not sure whether it would have let me submit it early. I didn't bother trying. Cheers. P.S. I don't need a Google Plus invite from
Getting
Matt.
Getting one anyway.
Getting one anyway, Matt. Last but not least.
We're very generous with these invites, aren't we?
Last but not least, ATC, a Telstra colleague, via direct email to Dr. On, says,
"Ooh,
dear panel, after listening to Andrew last week, complaining that his wife turns off the microwave and alarm clock every night to save electricity,
I knew I shouldn't have gone there.
Does she have any understanding of the effect that this has on electricity providers, their employees and families? In an effort to restore some form of equilibrium, I've found a disused LED alarm clock in the junk box. I now have this turned on and set to the correct time, and it is running in a spare power point in the garden shed. It serves no function other than to balance out the drop in power consumption, which now occurs every night at Shea McComb. I hope this gives Andrew some small comfort whenever he looks at the microwave
so
oven clock,
sweet.
Only to be reminded that he has, in fact, married a 12 o'clock flasher. With the greatest respect, keep up the good work."
12 o'clock flasher.
ATC. That's our correspondence, Andrew. If you want to communicate with us, you can. feedback@techtalkradio.com.au.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
Yes, and as I said on the beginning of the show, it's a bit of a sad week with HP deciding to bail out. Now, did you mention any of that on the news? It all sort of happened sort of on Sunday, didn't it?
It all happened very quickly.
Reading it across the course of time.
But it made the news.
Yeah, but this raises a few questions, especially in respect to what's going to happen with all the HP stuff that's out there on the market. Now, conspiracy theorists are plenty in our office today. Brian, who we might hear from later on, we will hear from later on in the show. Unless you're listening to the 1 hour version, you may not. So you've got to come and download the full one off the website. But he was saying that it's been funny how that the prices of HP equipment has been dropping quite beyond expectations in the past few weeks.
New equipment?
Yeah, new equipment. New equipment. He's got contacts in the retail sector, and there were some interesting comments. But after the weekend's announcement, he managed to put one and five together and came up with 50,000. Also, the fact that a lot of the auction sites, such as Grays, have been having massive clearances of HP stock. And potentially this is the culmination of said sales across town, because I think 2 weeks ago, Adam Turner was talking about the touchpad, the HP device, which was quite unique in its category.
He had a couple of things to say about it, didn't he?
He certainly did. And anyway, but now things like what we're hearing about on Twitter and some of those retailers throughout Australia, they're basically clearing them for sub-$100.
Absolutely. And there's mainstream media with headlines today like tablet fire sale. And as we mentioned like earlier, I think, in the program, like Harvey Norman sold out of its 6,000 units of newly discontinued touchpad tablets.
It must have been the shortest product history in mankind, really. Really? Like, it's just... when did it come out? Do you know?
Not long ago. A matter of weeks, I think, wasn't it?
If that. So, anyway, Best Buys in the United States have also done the same thing too. But they've had pressure applied to take back the touchpads after struggling to shift 10% of its stock. So...
ouch.
Yeah, that was probably pre the announcement, but that's fairly damning, I would have thought, in respect to the fact that they're not selling it.
The article I'm reading from at Digital Life online says the device went on sale last Monday. It's only been on sale for a week, and it went on sale for $499.
It'd be dark if you picked one up on
day one,
wouldn't
you? Oh, you'd be savage.
You?
Yeah, and now it's $99 they were selling them for today. It's become one of the
That's got to be below cost. That's just going to cover shipping and transport, surely. They're giving them away.
Why would they do that? Why would a retailer do that? They're going to sell even... I mean...
Because it costs them money to have it sitting, taking up space in their shops, in their warehouses, on their shelves.
If the product line's not being continued.
That's right, yeah. It's just not worth them investing that money of even keeping the stock. It's cheaper for them to get it out of the warehouse, take a loss on it, and get the warehouse space back for a product that's actually going to have a future.
That's going to be supported,
but
yeah.
Are they taking a loss, or do you reckon it'd be subsidised by HP? Get rid of it.
I don't know that, but... Even so, I think that would be the reason, would be to get it out of the system.
Best Buy's in the United States had managed to sell 25,000 of a 270,000 stockpile of HP 16 gig and 32 gig Wi-Fi only tablets. So they're not selling them over there. But I would imagine that market would be well and truly saturated by the Apple iGadget.
But the price of the price you paid for the unit is the least of your worries if you've just bought one of these things before the before the announcements over the weekend, because it's not just the hardware and the tablets themselves. It's the whole ecosystem of the software that goes with them
and support and apps and all that, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
And I noticed that there's been some articles with people from HP backing away from the saying they're not completely abandoning WebOS, which is the operating system that runs on these things. But obviously, if you're someone that owned them, you'd be pretty nervous about the future of it. Only, as I say, the hope for the future is that either HP license the software out and other people keep developing WebOS and the applications for it and so on. Or the other hope is that there's a group working on running Android on this hardware, so...
Well, that's probably more the reality, wouldn't it?
All the HP tablets will turn into Android tablets.
According to this article here, I've just read that August the 15th was the Australian launch date for the tablet. So we're not even a week down. Well, just on a week down now.
Yeah, 6 days, I think it was. Yeah.
It's been discontinued. Got to have the record for the shortest. is it? I don't know. What's the word for it? Is it
certainly
longevity of a product?
Yes.
Sales cycle or something. HP clarified today that while it made the decision not to continue developing WebOS devices, it was fully committed to the ongoing support and service of customers who had purchased them. Again, that's from the...
But that doesn't mean there'll be a vibrant ecosystem of developers and apps and so on that are going to be working around it.
That's right, as there is with Android or the iOS.
Hmm.
Very good.
And that ecosystem is necessary for the things to be useful.
Absolutely. If you've bought an HP device, let us know. How do you feel about it?
Have a cry on the phone with us.
Have a cry, yeah. Are you going to hang on to it? Are you going to ditch it? Are you going to put it on eBay? Are you just going to write off your losses?
I don't know. What would you do? Put it on the mantelpiece. Turn it into a collector's item.
Yeah, that'd probably be the thing, yeah.
Keep it brand new.
Keep it in original packaging as a collector's item.
Yeah. In other news this week, the black cables that adorn a lot of our streets around the city, the big Optus cables, NBN Co. have eyed off a few of those, would you believe?
I can believe that.
And the lobby group called Cables Down Under has warned of an Optus-style demonstration by residents at Angry, by the federal government's proposal to relax rules governing those overhead cables. So what that means is... you might see a few more of them spring up around the tree. Because they're ugly, goodness knows what, things that hang in the sky.
Oh, they're lovely.
Have you got any in your street, Doctor? Haven't you?
Lots and lots.
Yeah, I call it the Possum Superhighway.
It is the Possum Superhighway, yeah.
And you don't park your car under it, I've come to the conclusion. Because
no, you wouldn't.
They sit in the right spot and they do nasty things on the paintwork.
To the Juco.
That's right.
Yeah, I think of the contribution to the wildlife that you're making at the very least by having the cables there.
But there's no need for that. What, Telstra have got cables and fibre in pits and stuff, which I thought is what NBN bought, part of that infrastructure. But obviously, they feel the need to hang a few more bits of HFC around the place.
Well, I don't know whether they need to hang any more, but why wouldn't you use what's already there?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
I'm sure there'd be plenty of use for it.
Rural places that might be in for a bit of black cable hanging. Because it's got to be certainly cheaper hanging it between power poles than it would be digging...
Heaps cheaper.
And joining pits together.
Much cheaper. That's why they've always put electricity up in the sky, power cables, because of the cost.
Yeah, and we get bushfires.
Well, of course, it's more expensive with power cables than it is for communication cables because of the insulation requirements are so much more.
That's true. Yep.
But in a lot of places, the pits are there. The only reason Optus didn't put their cables in the pits is because Telstra wouldn't let them. Whereas in this case, with the NBN, they've got access to the pits and the tunnels, so pulling fibre through an existing pit and cable duct system is not going to cost significantly more than pulling it through existing power poles. It's probably, unless they're digging new trenches and putting in new duct, that's probably the cost difference isn't going to be nearly as much.
Well, in suburbia, we've got a massive underground system for cabling, haven't we?
See,
especially in the city centres, there's just these massive underground tunnel networks where all they do is string cables up.
Yep.
But having said that, I have noticed, and I don't know whether it's
the city isn't the problem.
No.
The city's all fibre anyway.
I haven't noticed, or whether it's just me, but there are lots of trucks pulling blue cable through streets these days in around where we are in Melbourne. So I don't know whether that's just expansion or general maintenance or whatever it is like that, or whether they're preparing for something, putting in dark fibre or whatever, waiting to turn it on down the track. But anyway, NBN coming to a place near you.
Mm.
Have we heard from GD in relation to his NBN?
GD's on the wrong side of Brunswick Street.
Really? He's one of our regular listeners?
Sydney Road or wherever he is.
trying to get hold of it. And I think Feecan up in Brisbane, she had...
No, Feecan's in Melbourne.
Oh, is she?
Yes.
Or did she have someone in Brisbane?
Georgia was in Brisbane.
Oh, Georgia. Yeah. I'm sorry, Feecan. Wrong person. She had...
you look similar.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
I don't know. Just making it up.
She had relatives who were on
girls
NBN
too. The same, apparently.
Really? Who told you that?
No. Yeah, it was Georgia. Was getting. Was it a relative of Georgia's who was getting?
Yeah, someone like that.
Yeah, uncle or someone. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you've got fibre, called NBN, let us know. Fibre to the home. Must be a fairly expensive process, I would imagine, connecting that little box up to the side of the house, nonetheless. Also, during the course of the week, Google, the Android operating system that Google has devised, Android, has... surpassed that of Apple's iOS in Australia. And this is according to Gartner, I believe. But having said that, as Adam would say, yeah, there's always a reason for that. And we've got, obviously, the imminent release of the new Apple device in the not-too-distant future.
The heavily rumoured iPhone 5.
Yeah, the heavily rumoured. And has anyone seen the case yet? I think I've seen lots of pictures of that floating around the place, soft edges and things like that. It's going to be very, you know, touchy-feely type sort of device. But
handy for a handheld device to be touchy-feely.
I guess so.
Very convenient.
Hopefully it won't slip out of your hand and end on the corner and break the glass.
Mm. That could... Or just spontaneously smash like Linus did.
Yeah, spontaneous combustion.
With no fire.
With no fire, yeah, just a shattering sound.
Ping.
Oh, dear. Mm. Anyway, Android smartphone sales were 42.9% in Australia for the 12-week period ending August the 17th, higher than Apple sales, which was just 37.2%. So there's a few stats for them. Android smartphones sales rose rapidly because multiple vendors such as Samsung, Motorola, HTC, Acer, LG, Sony Ericsson, and others are all getting on the bandwagon. Mm. They're just flogging their wares. And doing it rather well.
All hopping on the Android bandwagon.
Yeah. But if you look at it, there's a lot of manufacturers to make up for one manufacturer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And,
yeah, it's taken the combined might of all of those organisations to,
well, I think,
to get on top of Apple.
Didn't we say a while back, probably a few weeks back on the show, that Apple could actually gazump and buy the whole mobile phone industry if they said they chose to? So it's probably one of those arguments which is not worth having. But anyway, wait and see what happens when the next one comes out. Are you going to buy one, Lena?
Not sure.
You haven't broken this one yet?
No.
No?
No. It's doing fine. Sitting over here, I did drop it in a big way the other day and it took my breath away a little bit. But
oh, you had one of those, oh dear.
One of those, and then you flip
slow
it over
motion,
and go, oh, it's fine.
Slow motion car crashes.
I felt
when
a disturbance in the force. Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Did your hands go clamping
all
of a sudden?
Yeah.
You didn't know why?
Your heart stopped beating for about 3 seconds,
it
didn't
did. It? It did.
I thought, oh no, not again.
Very nervous. Very, very nervous.
But you've got a rubber bandy thing around it. Is
I've
that an
a
official?
A hard case.
You are a hard... Oh, you've got a hard case. Sorry. I was going to say, is that one of those
head
official...
Case.
Yes.
Head case.
Is that an official Steve Jobs rubber band thing?
No, this
thing?
Is by ArtSpec.
The desk
all
grip
my all my cases
thingy
are ArtSpec. I like ArtSpec.
Ah.
It's a hard case. But and it was... Look.
It is a hard case.
Hard fingernails. Hard
it
case.
It was one of my free ones, though, that you could choose when the iPhone 4 came out. And it's good. I like my case. It does protect it a lot. A lot. Not as much as the bouncy silicon ones.
Yeah.
You can probably really hurl those and they'd be all right.
Yeah.
I noticed all the workers in my son's childcare centre all have the silicon covers on their phones.
They try to make them kid-proof,
yeah,
do they?
Yeah, I don't think it's an accident. I think because they just, you know, bend over and the kid reaches into the pocket and goes, all right, and runs off with the phone. And
yeah, good.
Mm.
As you do.
The silicon ones are good. They're really bouncy.
It still makes me smile every time I hear it. I think it's still in the introduction, isn't it, with Steve Jobs saying in such a reluctant and annoyed tone of voice, okay, let's give everybody a case.
If that's going to fix the problem, have one. Absolutely.
I think he's, that's right, so frustrated that all his hard work and state-of-the-art bleeding-edge technology comes down to, all right, we need a bit of rubber around it to make it work.
He really failed to hide his emotions when hearing that statement, didn't he?
But wasn't that due to the fact that the American telephone networks just weren't up to the you know, well, AT&T, yeah. I think it was, the provider, everywhere they didn't want it.
Yeah, they're pretty miserable, AT&T, apparently. Mm. There's much more iPhones, not number-wise, but much more iPhone users per capita or something like that in Australia than there is in the US because we can pretty much choose our providers with our iPhones.
We're a bit lucky when it comes to that, aren't we?
Yeah, they've only got AT&T and Verizon, I think, in the States that can have iPhones.
And they lock everything. It's a bit different over there compared to here.
There's lots of BlackBerries in the US as well.
Yeah, they're very big BlackBerries. And I think when I was there too, they lock their SIMs to their handsets, so you can't swap a SIM out like we can here. I could be wrong. Annoying. I might stand corrected on that, but from recollection, it was very hard to take a SIM out of one device and put it into another, but maybe that's changed. Maybe I'm off the mark. I'm sure our listeners will no doubt tell us. Location-based SMSing. Do you reckon it'll take off?
Is this glimpsing and everything?
No. Advertising. You're walking down the street, you're passing a coffee shop, you get a text.
Oh, no, thank you.
Hey, Lena, cup of tea. Show me this and you get a bit of a discount. No. Don't think it'll take off?
Not with me. No, definitely not.
Let me paint another picture.
That's putting a spruiker at the front of every shop you walk past.
Correct.
No, thank you.
Correct. Okay, let me turn it around a little bit and say you're on holidays and you're trekking down a highway and let's say you're approaching a winery, a vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
Come in here and we get a free this or you get a free that and you're on holidays and you've got time to kill. Would that interest you?
Maybe if there was a portal that took care of them all and I just logged into the portal every now and then to check what was around, maybe. Okay. An app that aggregated them all for me.
Oh, okay. Well, we're about to get all this sort of technology, this location-based advertising. You know, walk past a cinema, present this, get a free ticket. Will it change the way you do your shopping? Will it change your attitude to retailing? Will it make you more resentful? Will you go, oh, this is really
Most
good?
Most likely.
Where you go, turn this thing off, I don't want a mobile phone anymore. In Dr. Ron's case,
it would drive me absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Like, mobile phones and, like, if I was going to get spam, SMS spam or text messaging spam the same way that you do on email, it would just make your phone unusable.
Aren't we lucky that we're in an opt-in country as opposed to some countries which are, we'll sign you up and feel free to opt out anytime you like.
Can you imagine having to go to the lengths of installing anti-spam text software because you were driving around town and every time you drove past a certain coffee shop or fast food outlet, you got your phone started beeping? It'd drive you nuts.
Raises a lot of questions, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, that'd be it for me.
Adam Turner has something on it, as you'd expect. Here's his view from the couch.
Adam Turner's view from the couch.
Are Australians ready for location-based marketing? Once upon a time, retailers simply bombarded us with mainstream advertising in the hope that we'd come into their store and buy stuff. The problem with this strategy is that it pounds people with radio, television, print and online advertising when it suits the retailer, not necessarily when it suits the consumer. When advertising strategies start to falter because we've become desensitized, retailers seem to respond by ramping up the advertising and making it more obnoxious to the point where mainstream television and radio has become all but unbearable. It's little wonder that tech-savvy consumers are finding more and more ways to bypass mainstream advertising, even if it means paying for the content directly rather than paying indirectly by renting out their eyeballs. Screaming in someone's face for 30 seconds while they're trying to watch their favourite show won't win you any friends. They'll just skip the ad. Neither will plastering popover ads over the page that someone's trying to read, but such things are easily blocked. Thankfully, some advertisers are trying a different approach called location-based marketing, sending people relevant advertising when they're near the store rather than when they're trying to consume content in the comfort of their own home. Of course, it's that advertising that pays for content, including the wages of the people who produce it, such as myself. So the traditional advertising model is unlikely to die anytime soon.
As smartphones have grown smarter and more aware of their surroundings, the rise of location-based marketing has been inevitable. Hitting shoppers with targeted advertising when they're not far from the store makes perfect sense, especially if it's opt-in, so people are choosing to hear from the stores and brands they're actually interested in, which helps build customer loyalty. It also gives traditional bricks and mortar retailers a high-tech weapon in their all-out war with online stores. While the technology has been around for a while, location-based marketing hasn't really reached critical mass in Australia. This could change with last week's launch of Quicker Feet, an iPhone app backed by AMP Capital Shopping Centres, which owns 20 shopping centres across Australia. Brands which have signed up with Quicker Feet include General Pants Group, Billabong, Lorna Jane, Bras and Things, Event Cinemas, Threadbow, AMF Bowling and Ridges Resorts. The free Quicker Feet app lets shoppers view the special deals on offer around their current location, with the option to set the radius from 1 kilometre to 100 kilometres. Shoppers can also receive instant notifications from their favourite stores. Once in store, they simply show staff the message on their phone in order to get the special deal. Of course, you've got the obligatory social networking time, with the ability to share details of bargains with family and friends via email, Facebook and Twitter. Quicker Feet has come along as a growing number of retailers attempt to cash in on the check-in trend, offering bargains to customers who spruik their brand via social media, shouting, "I'm here!" when they're in the store. Last week also saw the launch of check-in dailies, with 7-Eleven, the Commonwealth Bank, KFC and Westfield offering special deals to people who check in while in the store. The check-in phenomenon is growing in popularity, although it may well jump the shark. As long as location-based advertising remains opt-in, I think it's a good thing. Advertising is an annoying fact of life, but that doesn't mean that it can't work for us. I certainly don't want every shop spamming my phone as I walk down the street, but I'd be happy to pay to know when there's a good deal on at a store where I like to shop. It's early days, but I suspect if location-based advertisers are smart enough to treat people with respect, and that's a big F when it comes to advertisers, then they'll be quite successful.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
I'm not really into that four square thing. I reckon that's a great advertisement for tech-savvy burglars.
Foursquare sort of does that,
come
doesn't
and,
it?
Come and check out my goods and services at my home. No, thank you.
It makes it easy for stalkers, doesn't it, a little bit as well? I'm over here.
Well, I guess so.
Then people know where you are. I don't like that.
But we use Glimpse between ourselves if we want to share our location. But I've been glimpsing to my Facebook profile a little bit. There's a bit of a test. You can do that. And you can glimpse straight to Twitter. So it's a similar sort of thing. You're saying to people, look, I'm here. Here I am.
And now how are your stalkers going?
Yeah, they're good. They're going well. It's made it a lot easier for all of them. Yes. I think Adam's got it right. If it's as long as it's an opt-in method of advertising, and as long as you can opt out and they treat potential customers or customers with respect, then maybe it will be valuable to some people.
Mm.
I can't see it myself. I don't think I'd want it, especially not text messaging to your mobile phone. That would drive me crazy. Maybe if it was like an at message to my Twitter timeline, maybe I could put up with that. Or a direct message to my Twitter account, or maybe an email I could put up with that, but not text messaging.
But those things might not be in time. By the time you look at your Twitter timeline or read your email, you might be miles away from where the relevant spot was. The point of SMSing is that, hey, right now...
It's more real-time than the others, I guess.
That's right. That's the point. Yeah. Not that I agree with it. I'm distinctly on your side. It would not be very welcome at all.
That's why I'd want it in an app that aggregated them all for me. So then whenever I wanted to be open to that, to opt in, I just...
Yeah, but again, you're missing the point of it. The point is that you're there right now.
Time critical thing.
Yeah.
Georgia in our chat room says, I got a location SMS when I was walking around Westfield Bondi a few years back. It creeped me out. I can imagine it would. Yeah, absolutely.
I guess there's relevance in certain aspects of this. Say, for example, event advertising. You go to an event for a reason, to see something, and maybe as you're walking through that event, there might be different stalls or different offers on the cards whilst you're at that event. Maybe that would be good use for it. But nonetheless, maybe we're going to see this technology rolled out in ways that we haven't conceived yet that may be good for us.
Hmm.
But as you say, Lena, I think the ability to turn it off say, no, I don't want it. Maintain some level of privacy. Because that's the other side of the coin too, is that people are going to know your bit more about you, you know, because it's going to know where you are. So it's going to know how to interact with you and what type of ads to serve you because you're in a well-to-do suburb or you're playing a game of golf or something. So we'll serve you out some – have you checked out these new golf clubs or would you like this new sporting paraphernalia?
Andrew, yes? That all happens already.
Really?
You're delusional if you don't think that's happening already.
Facebook, Google.
Yeah, I'm not from
Google
a
local – Google knows where you are every minute of the day.
Well, that's true. That's true. But they haven't sent me text yet, so that's
I guess
where
everything
I'm
you do.
Yep. Anyway,
I'm not a user of Foursquare, but I thought the whole
it's
point...
It's big in the States, that.
It's big here too, but I thought the whole point of it was that if you checked in to certain places, they would partner with people. So if you checked in a certain number of times at your favourite coffee shop, the people at the coffee shop would see that you were checking in there and they would offer an incentive for you to do that. So like... if you checked in 10 times at a coffee shop, you get a free cup of coffee or something along those lines.
I got a card like that from Troy.
From Troy, down the road.
Coffee hit down the road
makes,
from us.
He makes a coffee.
Very good coffee. And he has a loyalty scheme thing, but he doesn't use technology.
There's no technology involved. No, it's just it's
there's
simple.
A card and a hole punch.
He says, Andrew, can I punch your card? And you say, yes, please.
Damn fine coffee too. Anyway, that's another story. Hey, while we're talking about Google, they bought Motorola Mobility for $12 billion. They just decided to lash out and buy that. So now they've got some hardware. They're going to start getting into becoming a, you know, compete with Apple because Apple's always had
hardware and software.
Mm-hmm. This is potentially going to be the equivalent for Google. Is this good?
They're not a mobile phone company, though. That's what they've said.
No, but they do know evil, too, and they've said that.
they've said that as well, haven't they?
They still asked us to fill out those Google Plus details like they were, isn't that cute? They pretended they didn't know what my name, phone number, address, and all that.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
Yeah,
you're inferring really that sweet. They
further to what Graham was saying a moment or so ago.
Yes,
very sweet that they pretend like that. Very cute.
$12.5 billion for that's a lot of money in this day and age to spend. Well, I don't know, is it to buy?
Not for Google.
No, a bit of a splash in the park, really. Anyway, I thought that was quite relevant at the time. Thought here we go, another. They'll end up having phones very shortly too. So
I think competition's always good.
Oh, I agree.
Good things will come out of it.
I agree. And just briefly before we go and have a bit of a break, Microsoft is hinting at a public pre-release of its build of Windows 8 very shortly. Graham, have you seen or heard any tinkerings, murmurings, groundswells of Windows 8 that you've thought, hey, that's really good? Apart from, remember when the GUI came out, the graphical user interface?
Yeah,
look?
That's what I was about to say. That's the only thing I've seen so far about Windows 8, really.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I wasn't impressed.
Oh, dear.
Pardon me. That's how unimpressed I was.
Really?
Causes you to stop breathing. I hear Windows 8's going to play Xbox 360 games. Is that true? It's a rumour?
Really?
And speculation?
That's a good
rumour.
I like that.
You like that one, do you?
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's probably a good rumour. I can see where you're coming from for that.
Yeah.
So... And other things, too, this week, too. You know how we've been talking about Apple and their issues in China of recent days with counterfeit stores? Well, apparently there's a mob in New York that have been doing things. Some of their New York stores selling counterfeit Apple products. So this Reuters were talking about this during the course of the week.
Ah.
They said something along the lines that...
that's the opposite of what was happening in China.
Yeah, well, they were just everything was fraudulent over there, but here.
Well, in China, it was the Apple shop that was not real, but the products were real. This one you're talking about.
Well, they were counterfeit products too. Oh, okay, yeah. I missed that.
We've been through this before, Andrew.
I know. Sorry.
Download the podcast. Have a listen.
Okay. Yeah. But this one they're talking about they're not pretending to be an Apple shop, but they are selling what they claim are Apple products, but they're not. Is that's the gist of it, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, what can you do? The world's biggest brand, and people are out to. I guess the price you pay, isn't it? Especially with doing business in China, too. You never know what you might be copied for over there.
Not to mention doing business in New York.
Well, that's true. Oh, that's good. I like New York. It's a good place to shop.
For Apple products.
Apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my iPad I got from... Where did I get my... I got my iPad from the Palo Alto Apple store in California. And I think Brian got his from... Who was our colleague at the office, got his from somewhere in New York. When it first came out. Maybe that was one of the ones he got. You never know.
They're the first generation iPads, aren't they?
They were. They're only a year old now. That's how quickly. And the iPad 3 will be out very shortly too, come April next year.
Longer than a year?
No. Pretty much a year to the date.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Because I got mine. I know where I was when I got mine. I know how long ago that was.
Yeah, when you're on holiday, yeah.
So, holiday?
Well, You were over there.
Holiday.
Yeah. Holiday.
No. Junk it.
Junk it.
Lena, you're sans iPad tonight.
I am.
You're
I
on
am.
Your MBP. Your
I am.
My MBP.
What are we doing?
My MacBook Pro, not my iPad. Didn't charge it in time.
Oh, is that the only reason? Now, you've started stop reading as well.
We're going to die. See, that's what happens around here.
Germs in here.
All right, well, we're going to play some music and have a break, and everyone can have a cough and a drink, and we'll be back with more after this.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Google has opted out of Germany now.
But that's not the whole problem.
Lena, help us. You need to come back. All is forgiven.
Yeah, what do you want? I can't deal with this now.
Absolutely.
That's very wrong.
It's very rude.
And obviously pretty good on the batteries too.
Not happy, Jan.
Oh, well. You have nothing here which does not have an apple on it.
That's the way I like it.
Couldn't even tell her whether you were male or female.
No. Frankly, no.
Have you worked out the five-finger fondle yet?
I hate toolbars on browsers.
Yes.
That really drives me insane.
Yes.
That lacks couth as well.
That lacks complete couth.
Graham took umbrage during the week with a ranking system that I developed on the forum.
Should have known that was coming.
A good cabler is worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely.
Mm. Let's talk about Apple, shall we?
Yay.
Oh, Apple scandal.
Yeah. Just when I thought I got out, they pulled me back in.
Entertaining.
They post some lolcats.
No, they haven't posted any lolcats yet that I've seen.
Informative.
At some point, litigation must come to an end.
Exactly.
Independent.
I'm not queuing.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Just in case you missed something, want to hear a discussion again, or even if you wanted to indulge in the Tech Talk Radio extended mix, then subscribe to the Tech Talk Radio podcast. You'll find a link on the website techtalkradio.com.au or subscribe on iTunes. You can also have a repeat of the current show streamed live to your device by visiting stitcher.com or by visiting the Tech Talk Radio small screen site, m.techtalkradio.com.au. Tech Talk Radio, it's everywhere you need it.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You are indeed. Welcome back, everyone. Tech Talk Radio, around this country and around the world, wherever you might happen to be listening to us, on the stream, on the radio station. Welcome.
It's everywhere you need it.
Yeah.
That's what
thanks,
it's,
Telstra.
That's what it said.
It does, everywhere you know. Your shirt's glowing, Dr. Ron.
Shh, don't
start. Okay, sorry.
That's the gadget of the week.
I'll have to wait for it.
You will.
Okay, good. Well, I'd like to, just because everyone else was dying in here before, we thought I'll get Brian on the line from the office because he's fit and healthy and all that sort of stuff. Brian is a man who lives in an NBN area who can't get NBN on and he's got slow internet. How frustrating would that be?
Why can't he get NBN on?
Because they haven't actually said, yeah, you can connect to it yet. They've got it all sitting out there and it all runs through these great new estates, a Greenfield estate, but no, you've got to go through the resold sort of thingy for the time being and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, I thought I'd get him on because Brian is our film guru. He is to film what we are to technology.
He is the Anthony DiNozzo of Tech Talk Radio.
Can you hear him there? There he is.
Is that contagious?
Yeah. Oh, he's starting to cough, dear. Oh, dearie me.
Anyway, how are you guys?
Yeah, we're good, Brian. Hey, the reason why we thought we'd get you on is because one of the great films that a lot of tech people absolutely love, and it's well respected amongst the community for its technical achievements, was a film that dates way, way back with Harrison.
1982.
With Harrison Ford. And I have a Blu-ray. No, I don't. No, I've got. Oh, maybe I do. I can't remember what I've got of it. Do you know which film we're talking about? Let's a few clues and see if you can work it out.
Philip K. Dick.
Pardon me?
Philip K. Dick. Is that right?
I don't know.
He's the author of the original novel.
Do Androids Dream?
Of Electric Sheep.
Yeah. That was the original title.
And do they?
Oh, I don't know. You tell me. You're the expert.
Yeah, good. Hey, they're doing a remake, Brian, and the director. Everyone, who's they're getting the band back together?
Did we establish what the film was?
Mr. Ridley Scott. No, well, he's not. Everybody's going crazy about it, saying that he's doing a remake. He's not actually doing a remake. It's not actually clear what he's doing. He might do a prequel or a sequel.
What's a prequel?
The one before the actual event. So before the film, if that makes any sense.
So we're talking Blade Runner here. If you haven't quite worked it out, in cryptic words.
Yes.
Now, Harrison Ford was in that, and it was you know, one of those really great films. Lots of great grabs that came from it that everyone goes around quoting and stuff like that. A very Ridley Scott and his unique lighting style. Was this before Aliens? I think it was, wasn't it, Brian?
Yes, it was. It was, yeah. He's actually, funny you mentioned aliens, because he's making a another film related to aliens called Prometheus, and he's actually shooting that right now. But again, we don't know if it's a prequel or a sequel, but apparently it's got nothing to do with aliens, which is a bit weird. I don't know what he's doing, but yeah, that's funny that you mentioned aliens.
Well, yeah, so obviously Steven Spielberg has nothing to do with it then, because there's no aliens involved.
No. It's apparently, it's a dedication to 2001 Space Odyssey, with a bit of a rough edge to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you take a look back at Blade Runner, cutting-edge stuff, it was really visionary for its time. Why are they remaking it? And as you say, you don't know whether it's a prequel or a sequel. What are we going to see, do you reckon?
They haven't released that, but the company Alcon Entertainment, which is the producers Andrew Cosgrove, got the rights to it a couple of months ago. And they went and pitched it to Ridley Scott, and Ridley Scott said, yeah, let's give it a shot. So apparently, well, this is according to rumours, apparently what they're going to do is they're going to rough it up a bit. So use today's technology and, you know, film equipment and try to make it a bit more gritty. So, you know, that Dark Knight sort of feel.
Brian, do we know if we're going to see Harrison Ford and Rutger Hauer and all our old favourites back again?
I doubt it. Harrison Ford is 69 years old now, and the last time they made Blade Runner, which was in 1982, they weren't best of friends.
Oh, yeah, you were saying that there was a lot of shenanigans that went on behind the scene.
Yeah, well, Ridley Scott, when he came to Hollywood in 1982, he was a commercial director from London, and Harrison Ford doing, you know, having done Indiana Jones and Star Wars and all that sort of stuff, he was a hotshot Hollywood guy. So there was a bit of a, you know, who are you to walk in here and tell me what to do sort of attitude going on. And the whole crew, it was an American crew, American production with a British director. And Ridley Scott traditionally doesn't take a lot of, you know, he's a pretty firm man.
He doesn't take nonsense from anybody.
Yes. I was going to say...
I know what you were going to say.
Yeah,
I thought it'd help.
So I... Yeah. But I don't think they have a very good relationship, so I doubt he'll be coming back.
Yeah. Interesting. Daryl Hannah was in the 1982 one as well.
She was Pris. She played a great role, didn't she? Right?
She Breon James, who else was it? Joe Turkles, Sean Young. Yeah, it was an awesome cast.
So Daryl Hannah's still making movies? She was in Kill Bill just recently on the last few years.
She was, yeah. Actually, they're making a third Kill Bill.
But oh, dear.
That's another thing.
We should do a movie podcast. We should natter about this sort of stuff all night. Just wilf from one movie to the next.
So, that's the new Blade Runner. They're going to start production in 2013. So it's still a while away because he's doing his, apparently, not an alien prequel called Prometheus. So that's another 2 to 3 years before we see the new Blade Runner.
Well, do you reckon it's going to be worth hanging your hat on and waiting for, or is it just Hollywood, you know, trying to do what Hollywood does at the moment because they seem to run out of ideas?
I think it's Hollywood just trying to do it. I mean, I'm a massive fan of Ridley Scott. I loved Gladiator, I loved Alien, I loved Blade Runner, but I just don't know what he's doing. I mean, last year he made a YouTube video with a couple of 100,000 people who posted videos and then he put it together. Anyway, I don't know what he's trying to do. He's trying to be innovative, I think, but he should just stick to what he knows best.
His knitting.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I wouldn't say I would hang out because I love the original Blade Runner. It's a fabulous film. A lot of people are getting a bit angry about the fact that they're going to, you know, it's sort of like remaking The Godfather. If anybody tries to remake The Godfather, all hell will break loose.
But it would have to be one of those must-see movies, regardless of whether it's good or bad, because of our history with the original film. It's something that's been with people like us for most of our lives.
Oh, definitely. No, I'm not saying I wouldn't want to watch it. I'd love to watch it. But what I'm trying to say is the original Blade Runner is a once-in-a-lifetime film. You know what I mean? You can't really top that off if that's what they're trying to do.
And you look at the music score that was with that. That was Vangelis, and that was fairly, I guess, as you say, innovative music at its time. We sort of really hadn't heard a lot of that type of music.
Yeah.
So that was one of the reasons why, you know, technically it forged ahead in modern day filmmaking. I guess obviously it's way too early to call on what soundtracks are going to be like, but if they're going to be true to form, you'd probably think will be that style of music, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. One scene that does stick to my mind is the ending, the music at the ending, when they're on the rooftop, and they got the heavy rain. It's perfect. So it's really, I won't get too much into it because you know me. I'll just keep blabbing on, and it'll be 10 o'clock before you know it. But yeah, no, I get your point. It's going to be hard to do it.
All right. Hey, Brian, thank you very much for an insight into the new Ridley Scott film. I think, are you excited about it just as a film goer? Do you reckon it's something to look forward to?
Yeah, both. I mean, I'm a big fan of Blade Runner and even bigger fan of Ridley Scott. So I am looking forward to it. Yeah, I could say that. Yep.
Excellent. All right. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on it. Thank you very much for this evening.
Thank you for having me. Have a good one, guys.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks. And we'll be back after this.
Listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody.
Because you don't believe man walked on the moon, did you?
No, it was all done on the soundstage.
Shut up, Dr. Ron. That's not it.
Look, approve an R18 rating, or we're going to reform the way we do everything.
The road is now 2.4 metres from where the map says the road is.
That's flagful for you.
Oh, Andrew.
So, Mr. Zuckerberg is certainly...
Nonsense.
Entertaining.
I very much enjoyed it. I think it's very funny.
Informative.
It used to be cool.
Independent.
I gave up Warcraft for you, Lena. What else do you want me to do? You're going to bring me to my knees.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
On air and on the internet, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Yeah!
Tech Talk Games with Lena Van Deventer.
What's happening?
I'm dancing.
Yeah, I know.
She's doing a little dance.
It is.
I always dance.
Do you want a bit more music so you can think about it?
No.
We pull the fader down
a bit.
Pull the fader down, the music stops, we'll have to sit down.
Games.
Okay, off
games.
You go.
Games.
Free play, baby. What
yes,
happened?
It was a massive weekend for games in Melbourne in particular, but in Australia and the globe.
Yeah, did you get to meet some real life heroes?
I did.
Yeah?
I did.
Sit next to them, talk to them, rub shoulders with the rich and famous.
Yes.
They said, who are you?
And I met a kid who's going to take over the world one day.
Really?
Yes.
You were swearing at him on Twitter tonight. Is that right?
Do you want to name this said...
Josh. His last name is a long one and I might not say it in case, you know, because it is a minor. I'll leave him alone.
G'day, Josh.
But
hi, Josh.
That's a pretty high pedestal she's put you on,
get
Josh.
Get used to saying... Yes, Josh. Of course, Josh. Whatever you say, Josh.
Three bags full, Josh.
We'll all be doing
and,
that.
And in why have you said this man will run the world and take over? Is this because he's such a good coder?
He's a 13 or 14 year old kid, and he came along to this event on the weekend, and he'd walk straight up to the industry bigwigs, shake their hand, and say, "Hi, I'm Josh. Nice to meet you," and start talking to them in a more eloquent way than I could.
Wow. Like,
and it was just everyone was saying, "Who is this kid? He's going to take over the world one day." But yeah, it was a massive group of like-minded, invigorated, passionate games folk.
Great. And you had them all up playing some lemon jousting game.
I did.
What is lemon jousting?
Still talking to you after playing lemon jousting?
Yes.
Are they going home and say, hey, to their wives and their fellow flatmates, let's play lemon jousting.
Once you joust, you never go back.
Okay.
It's true. As part of Free Play this year, we had a playful program as well as the festival proper, which was on the weekend. And as part of the playful program, I was I ran a lemon jousting tournament. And that's when you have each player has two wooden spoons. Is it a street game or a pervasive game that happens in the real world? You have two wooden spoons in your hands and one lemon balancing on one of your spoons. The aim is to get other people to drop their lemons, but you've got to protect your lemon. And it's sort of a last man standing thing. But it's very, very fun. And when you get a whole bunch of game makers together, soon people start trying to tweak the rules, break the rules, cheat, make it more fun, make it less fun, make it unbalanced, make it, you know.
Sounds like a lot of fun for non-water-based drinking.
It is. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
we encourage responsible drinking, but of course...
Absolutely.
You know,
responsible lemon
it's
jousting.
It's almost like
a
handicap.
It is, I can imagine. So apart from the fun and games that you have, what did you come away with?
Feeling invigorated.
Yeah. Enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic about the industry. Met a lot of amazing people. It was a great networking opportunity to meet people you've only ever talked to on Twitter, or you've read their articles and you wanted to say thanks for that one, or things like this. But it was great. There was people there who
didn't play games and came along and just had a look, and I think they got something out of it as well.
And so, how healthy is the gaming industry? The reason I asked that is I was reading up on the Free Play website of the blog. You know, there's 101s if you want to come along and learn how to write games and things like that. Did you get many people coming along to find the answers to those questions?
To answer the first one, the industry is in a bit of a state of flux at the moment. It has died down compared to how it has been in the past. Our director, Paul Callahan, has a theory in that it's going from a technological industry to a creative one. And so we're sort of seeing the shift in that and how we run our studios differently accordingly, and how even roles in the studios themselves change, and indie gamers and indie studios and all this sort of thing popping up. So it's changing. There are a lot of studio closures going on and everything, but it's not necessarily dying, just changing a little bit.
I was made a sort of assumption from one of your tweets during the week that there's some disparity between how much people get paid as developers and how much people get paid as creative.
Yeah, there can be a discrepancy between, say, programmers and artists.
Yeah.
And how much they get paid, which is really not cool when you think about the amount of work that they're both doing.
Because one's as important as the other, I would have thought.
Exactly. And you know, it doesn't really cut it anymore to not pay creatives as much as the technologically minded people.
It's a bit like a film without a good story. You can't have one without the other. You need a good story, unless you want to go and see one of Michael Bay's films or something like that.
You don't like a good explosion.
Well, you know, there comes a point in time where you actually like some mental stimulation.
Stuff between the explosions.
Yeah. Bit of dialogue, you know. But, strange but true.
Yeah, no. What was the second part of that? You said there was sort of a double barrel question that I can't remember.
Oh, in the previous one, I was just saying also on the website there was a lot of, I guess, looking at the session information there. You know,
that's right, yeah.
Come along and have a look if you want to learn how to start making games and things like that, or making games 101. How did that go?
It went really well. There was one workshop in particular I really liked, which was I think it was called You Don't Have to Hate Mondays, and it was all about creating a studio that you'd love to work in, or, you know, being a part of a place you'd really love to sort of run in the door instead of mope up with your coffee going, oh God, I have to go back to work. So that was great in terms of...
Do they have places like that these days?
Yeah, apparently. So there was a lot of things like that where there was just people who have a lot of wisdom and experience standing up there and telling and sharing it with everyone else, which was, it's just really good that everyone's so open about it.
Mr. Chad in the chat enjoyed your lemon jousting. He said it was awesome.
Oh, good.
Did you say Mr. Chat in the chat?
Mr. Chad in the chat.
All Mr. Right. Chad in the chat.
Yeah. Just testing.
Oh, good. I'm glad you had fun.
Yeah.
It was. No,
so
it was
successful. Good session all around.
I hope so.
So what did you come away with? Apart from inspiration and looking good, are we going to see
some... She got a great T-shirt.
I did. I'm wearing a T-shirt at the moment, my Free Play T-shirt.
You have to look twice at it because it's dark. It's just sort of like got the yellow edging, but everything else is purple and black. Cool. And it's a bit sort of...
It's like one of those ones you look through and you see a sailing ship.
Yeah, a little magic eye.
Those ones where you go squinty at them and things jump out of the pictures at you, yeah.
Don't you reckon?
It's probably Paul's sense of humour. He wants people to be squintily looking at people's chests going, hmm.
All right, I'm going to face the front now.
Yours is glowing. You've got nothing to talk about.
Yeah. You've got an attention-seeking T-shirt on.
I do have an ADD T-shirt on.
I walked away with enthusiasm, a few more names that I know, a lot of business cards in my pockets.
Any insights into the future for...
Yes, actually, the last panel on Free Play was called The Next 12 Months, and it was talking about...
Oh, Crystal Balls, I love them.
Yeah, what we're going to see in the next thing, and it was definitely that whole creative side is definitely going to come more into it, and maybe looking at what other disciplines can show us, like what theatre can teach games makers and what puppetry or, you know, anything could teach us. And that's, it's quite fascinating. And what alternate reality games and augmented reality games and pervasive games and street games and tabletop games and all the non-video games, what that play can teach games makers as well.
What about devices and things like that, platforms?
There wasn't really that much on the tech side of things this year. I think that was on purpose because the theme this year was handmade. So I think we didn't really go too much into... Well, I personally didn't go to any workshops that talked in detail about, SDKs or engines or anything like that. But I'm sure they were mentioned a few times. But I think it was definitely sort of trying to foster this creative creative movement instead of the tech sort of side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually came up with a few interesting panels about gender representation and those sorts of things, and that's sort of in flux all over again because the issue of women in tech, it's an issue in tech and it's an issue in games as well, that it's because it was a technological industry, there it has been male dominated, and so there's sort of that all that political gender discussions bubbling under the surface again now that it is changing into a more creative
but like
industry.
Any industry of a technical background, be it broadcasting, filmmaking, computer games, whatever, there's always a level of, you know, you need good script writers, you need good creative people, which are, doesn't matter whether they're male or female. So surely it's just a matter of giving the opportunities and taking an opportunity and running with it, whether it be a script or whether it be code or whatever.
But diversity makes better product.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's important to try and get more women into the industry, if not via trying to lure them there, then trying to find out why they don't want to and trying to fix that. That's probably a better way of doing
it. Some have tried and failed in that. How did you go with representation of the male and female gender at Free Play?
Pretty good. There was a fair few women there.
Yeah,
there was a fair few women there.
And did you chat to them? What were their ambitions? What were they doing there? Were they there to learn about the tech or what were they getting out of Free Play?
Same as everyone else, I guess. We were just there to try and learn as much as
possible. It was a bit of a love-in, was it? It was a bit of everything to everyone?
Yeah, it was a bit of a love fest at times, especially when we were all saying thank you to Paul at the end. He got a standing ovation and everything. It was very, he called it a love fest. But
well deserved too, from all accounts.
Absolutely. He's the hardest working man in Australia.
Good on you.
He's probably asleep as we speak, and we'll do so you should for another be too. Week.
There's the bags under your eyes again, your chin at the moment. So.
No, it was a fantastic week. Fantastic 5 days, and I can't wait for next year.
So what's next? Where are you off to next? You've done the junkets to Brisbane. You came and brought a coal back from that one.
I did. And where am I going to bring one? My coal
where
from
you,
next
Where are you
week?
Off to next week? Are you having a...
I'm in Melbourne for a little while this week.
Are you?
Yep.
Yay. Bring your feet up, having a relax, beer and pizza and bacon nights.
Well, not quite. I've got deadlines now.
Oh, well, that always happens, doesn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, I've learned a lot from my panel, from my workshop that I went to about not hating Mondays and
We love Mondays in our organisation.
Yeah. We love it every day.
It's Fridays that's the problem because we've got to go home. You can't finish doing what we're doing.
Doesn't render quick enough.
Thank you for your insight into computer games for this week.
Thank you.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
We talked about patches for those wonderful organisations such as Microsoft in recent times to fix some of those nasty vulnerabilities. Adobe have had their fair share this week, Graham.
Yeah.
With their patches. I noticed that my Acrobat Reader and my Acrobat programs have been fairly quick to download some fairly sizable patches. Do you know what's going on in that respect?
Honestly,
I've put you
no.
on the spot, haven't
have
I?
A little bit. I wasn't ready for this one.
I'm sorry. It's on the rundown.
My Adobe products are absolutely... I should have read it. My Adobe products are constantly updating. It's as bad as the Windows updates.
And in the browser too, the Flash Player that goes in the browser every time you launch, especially if you've got a couple of machines around the office, around the home, you feel like you're forever saying yes to Adobe.
And you've always got to remember to untick the Foistware, so otherwise you end up with toolbars and things you don't expect, which I absolutely detest.
Microsoft's been relentless the last few weeks.
Relentless.
Like every time I turn off my computer,
they've settled down.
We said this last week when you weren't here.
Settled down this week, but
I've got to download the show and have a listen.
Just had to vent, did you?
I did. Yeah. Like whether it's my media center or my workstation or my netbook, I go down and please do not turn off your computer.
Just before last week's show was the big update for the month for Microsoft.
Of course, it was.
It was massive, and then it replicates out to all the other machines in your network, and you seem like you're there forever and a day, going yes, restart, but settle down now. Which is good.
Yeah, the trick is to let the machines automatically install the updates at 3 a.m. like they want to and leave them turned on overnight.
Oh, not at our house.
Except at your house.
Get the Nazi coming out and turn everything off.
Andrew gets his clock radio turned off. His computers have got no hope.
Yeah, too right. I've had to change the locks in the doghouse, but that's another story. Getting back to Adobe, Shockwave Player, Flash Media Server, Flash Player and Photoshop CS5 all contain patches for critical severities, whilst an update rated important was released for RoboHelp. So that just goes to show what Adobe's been up to. So obviously a few vulnerabilities there. And I think Acrobat's on, I would say, most machines, if not all machines these days, right across the Mac PC range.
Flash Player, yeah.
Well, I guess, well, that's not on Apple devices. Well,
yes, it is.
Flash Player. What, you wouldn't find on it on an iPad.
No, but you won't find it on your MacBook. Pro.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And, on your Macintosh, whatever else you've got, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and
if you
it is
really
important.
Want Flash on there, you can put Flash on there.
Can you?
Yes.
Can you?
Yes, of course you can.
I've never tried.
And I'll say again what I always say. It is important to do these updates because they are protecting you from known vulnerabilities, known problems.
That's good. I like your rants because people write in and say they like your rants. So you can have one if you like.
Oh, no, that's it. That's all
okay,
there is.
Good. That was it tonight.
I just need to say that to counter the people that say, oh, don't do updates because every now and then an update fails and breaks my machine. Well, you're at much more risk if you don't do the updates than if you do.
Some people are scared of doing them.
Some people are, yeah.
I wait. I'm one of those people. I wait a week and watch everyone else, and if they all do it fine, then I might do it. I still haven't put Lion on my computer yet.
I think that, given your other half's experience with Lion, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
He hasn't had the best of luck with it. But then he did an upgrade instead of a clean install because he's a dill.
He is a dill. Now everyone knows.
Did he listen to the show?
No.
Oh. Greetings to Dev Ender, anyway.
Yep.
Now
everyone's going to tell him. You put his Twitter name out. Everyone's going to say, they're talking about you on the radio.
See, that's what happens. It comes back to bite you on the derriere. It's one of those things with this show. I've come to the conclusion. People find out one way or another.
Mm. We weren't saying nasty things, though. We were saying fact.
No.
He did have a lot of kernel panics with Lion.
Allegedly.
A kernel panic is, in the Unix world, what a blue screen of death is to a Windows world.
Yes.
I had a blue screen of death today on my Windows 7 machine.
Did you really?
Thanks to Sony.
That's unusual. It's bad Sony drivers.
I put an XD cam into a Sony device.
I've never done that.
And then all of a sudden it came up and it went, I'm sorry, goodbye.
Oh.
I got the blue screen of death. Oh, thank you, Sony.
No.
Well done.
Mm.
So, I wonder if Windows 8 is going to be any more like Sony, a little bit better than what Windows 7 does. I suspect not.
Windows 8 won't have blue screen. Windows 8 is like a mobile, turns your PC into a big mobile telephone. It'll just get slower and slower as it goes
along. Do I want that?
No. Well, I don't.
No, exactly right.
But, Lena, you were saying you wait a week to do your updates. I think that's a little bit overly cautious. I think if there's going to be any problems, you're going to hear about it within a few hours.
You don't look the conservative type to me, Lena.
Really?
No.
I think
probably an excuse for justified laziness.
You'd be one of those blazingly, presumptuous clickers, I would have thought.
Go for it and click.
Yeah.
No, I'm not with my computer.
See, looks can be deceiving, can't they?
They can.
Finger Freddy.
No.
Fast Finger Freddy is what we call that person.
Oh, really?
Clicks yes on everything without reading it.
A nexter. Or a just go. Yeah, next.
No, I'm very careful with my computer, actually, now that I think about it.
I'm already
very
in enough trouble at home. I'm going to be exceptionally quiet about now.
Fast Finger
Freddy. Do you live with a Fast Finger Freddy?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. She's the quickest Fast Finger
clicker
I've seen. Yes.
Are they the sort of people that ring you up and say, I've got an error on my computer, and you ask them what it is, and they say, I don't know, I didn't read it.
Yeah. And you go to their machines and they've got 17 toolbars set in Internet Explorer.
Like that fantastic screen grab someone put up a few weeks back that was two-thirds of the screen was just toolbars in the web browser.
Yuck.
Speaking of web browsers, I was going to talk about something.
Did you like that? Was that a nice link?
It was good. Anna Corrin there.
Just on the subject of things that appear on your PC without you wanting them to, I was installing brand new computers the other day, as I do as part of my work. And I installed Windows, and then I installed the drivers for the video card, the ASUS video card, off the disk that came with it. And there's a shortcut appeared on my desktop that had the World of Warcraft logo and said World of Warcraft.
Fantastic.
No.
And linked to a program in an ASUS folder called language.exe or something like that. And when you double-click on it, it opens a web browser and tries to go to a web page, at which point ended it with extreme
and
prejudice.
Who put that there? The drivers? Yeah. Who were the manufacturers of the driver?
ASUS.
Have they got affiliations with that sort of organisation?
I've no idea. It made me very angry at the time. I thought
maybe
their
discs got infiltrated at the time of replication in some glass mastering company around the place.
I had a bit of a search around, and there's a couple of people on the ASUS support forums asking about it, but no comment from ASUS themselves.
Oh,
and I
deniability. Yeah.
I looked up asus.com.au and rang their number and got a choice of press 1 for this, press 2 for that. And if you're looking for support on video card drivers, then go to the website and don't bother us on the phone.
That's
which was not very helpful.
Good customer service from ASUS, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what I didn't think.
Sony have tried to put voiceware on to machines a while back, and
they learned the hard way.
That went really well.
Yeah.
Maybe Asus are going to go the same way.
Yeah.
Mm. Chrome's going to keep its address bar in the quest for giving maximum user space.
It's going to keep the address bar.
It's going to keep the address bar.
What was the other option? To lose the address bar.
Yeah, Google has
decided... Where are you going to type the address?
Well, hello? Yeah. Google has decided not to kill off the address bar in its Chrome browser. Earlier this year, Google revealed plans to ditch it, leaving users to write URLs in the tiny space given over the tab titles.
The tiny space over the tab titles?
Oh, okay. Key it into the... okay.
So you type the address into the
tab. You bring a new tab, yeah. And where it says blank...
Okay, so you lose that bar,
So every time you click on a tab, it opens up...
When it says
sorry,
the words...
you're a Safari user, move on.
It says the words new tab at the moment. So you click on the words new tab and start to type it in there.
Yeah.
But then if you want to click to the next tab over, it's going to open up your URL... thing to put it like to put text
oh
in
yeah
it.
That's
you could design the user interface to avoid that problem.
Yeah, but then you've got to be really careful on what part of the tab you click on. Instead of having the whole tab you click on, you'd have to be a little section.
Typically what you do is second click opens it for editing.
Yeah, double click.
So, or second click.
Second
yeah.
click, yes.
If you click on an already selected one, in other words.
Yeah.
Or we just keep the address bar.
Yep. Yes, please.
Yes, please. Thanks, Google. Wise decision.
Yes, please.
You've chosen wisely.
Well, thanks, now that you explain the UI, I'm not sure that it wouldn't have worked.
Well, they were going to give you a little bit more space to type into it, so your tab would have been probably twice the width of what your new tab would have been.
Well, you could expand it out while you're typing into it and then collapse again once you finish.
You could.
Gross. Yeah. No. It would look awful.
And again, you'd also...
Awful.
You could have it so if you hover over it, it shows you the whole address.
Yuck.
Too.
No. No. I don't want anything going shunk across my whole screen like that. Yeah. I don't want that.
How would it go if it was going to go in?
Kashunk.
Yeah.
Kashunk.
Warlock in our chat room says you can't teach people to type URLs into tabs. Yeah, I think we've got enough trouble at the moment as it is, Warlock, haven't we? Trying to get people to type URLs in the right place.
I think this might be a solution to a problem.
Really?
I think this might keep certain people who shouldn't be on the internet off the internet.
Hey, I take umbrage to that.
This might be a...
I wasn't talking about
this
you.
This might be a solution to a problem we don't have.
That's a problem we have, for sure.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Graham reckons he might like it. I'm not convinced. Lena's against.
I've always been in favour of people of needing to have a licence to use a computer. I think that's...
Oh, really? Licensed operators?
Yeah. Yeah, so that you
What are you proposing? Some sort of like ACMA test where you have to
do training and pass a test and get your license to be allowed to use a computer.
I like that idea. You can do a hell of a lot more damage with a computer than you can with a car.
Absolutely.
And we have to get licenses to drive cars.
Yeah.
So in Australia, you install your Windows or your OS whatever, and you get 10 multiple choice questions and you have to get 70% to actually continue installing the program. Is that sort of along those lines?
No, you just have a driver's license, a computer operator's license, like you have your driver's license, and if you get caught operating a computer without a license, you get fined.
Ridiculous.
And put in jail or summarily executed, lined up against the wall.
Drawn and quartered.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I like that idea, Graham. You've got my vote.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
No, I like it.
Nope.
No, sorry, Lena.
When I'm dictator of the world, that's what the policy will be.
When you're emperor?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I'm for that.
No.
And you put a little liver donor sticker on the back of your computer license.
Yes.
So in case you get electrocuted and...
That's
the unthinkable happens.
Be a hardware donor.
If you didn't put your static strap on.
Yeah. Oh, poor person. They've come to grief at their computer. Oh, it's all right. They're a liver donor.
I think we could solve a lot of problems.
George, you're on our chat.
Solve a lot of problems.
Video card donor.
George has just opened up a can of worms on our chat. Said low IQ users have to use IE.
Ooh. Ouch.
Georgia, they already do.
I think that might have been...
That's our whole government.
I think that might have been part of the point I was trying to make a little earlier.
Our whole government. Oh, that hurts my feelings.
Oh dear. Should we move on from browsers? Have we covered this topic suitably?
I think we have.
Who else can we alienate?
Oh, let's talk about hackers in Hong Kong. Apparently the Hong Kong Stock Exchange got done last week.
Oh.
And they had to suspend trade after hackers broke into its website and prevented investors from accessing company midday break announcements. So someone obviously got a denial of service attack in Hong Kong. The chief executive, Mr. Charles Lee, said that the hacking was localized and did not affect other systems on the exchange, which is probably fairly good. So obviously people are putting good time to their spare time and doing things like that. Don't forget, we've got the November 5th hacking schedule coming up where Anonymous
Facebook.
Anonymous are going to take out Facebook. Well, this will be very interesting. We should have a clock in here. We can count the days because that'll be very interesting to see what happens. Also, while we're on the subject of Facebook, there's a little app out which I noticed on Chrome the other day where you can now actually link your Google Plus account and your Facebook account and your Twitter account. And this would be really good for Lena because it'll save her so many times, so much time tabbing between applications to type the same tweet, post, or...
But I didn't do the same for all of them. I treat my Facebook and my Twitter as very, very separate entities.
Oh, good. But what
Never
happens...
Never the twain shall meet.
But what happens if you say, I'm at Free Play and you should be here, rather than having to type it into all your different devices... You could do one and click the box.
But you don't really at the moment, Lena, do you? You only broadcast that sort of thing on Twitter.
Yeah, I do, yeah. I'm the way I act on Twitter and Facebook is two very, very, very different things. Okay. And I like to keep them that way.
Well, that's good.
There's information I would share on Facebook that I wouldn't share on Twitter, and there's information I would share on Twitter that I wouldn't share on Facebook.
Okay, two different purposes then.
Yes, a little bit.
All right, well, there is a new little app out. I tried it during the course of the week. It means that you can post simultaneously on many social networks at the one time thanks to a little plug-in on the Chrome browser.
A lot of people do that. They copy and paste, though,
It seems to work okay. I'm still dubious about what information it's sharing in the background. Graham, you want to say something? You've got that look. You're pointing.
I'm just thinking this could be really good for me, actually. I could link them all together and then delete them all at the same time.
There is actually something on Twitter that if you put the hashtag FB, there's an application on Twitter already that if you put the hashtag FB, it'll post it onto Facebook for you as well.
Mm. Okay. There is an app for you if you want to delete things, says he looking at Graham.
Is there?
It's called the Morning After app.
Yes.
It's designed for when you...
What are you implying about my use of social media?
I'm not implying anything.
We're not implying you use social media at all.
We're not... your usage of
social... Are you implying that I use social media at 3 a.m. while inebriated?
No, I'm not.
I think you are.
I'm implying the fact that if you wanted to delete something that you posted on to use your words, if you wanted to delete something, there's a great app called the Morning After app, which means you can say, delete everything I've posted between now and... 2 days ago, for example, and you can go click. You don't have to be inebriated for 2 days to do that.
Right, okay.
So there is, they have thought of you, Graham, if you needed to. You remove those 1.5 posts that you've done, the one you've got in drafts and the one you've got online.
Oh, can I just clarify something? I said before that hashtag FB thing was on Twitter, but it's not. It's on the Facebook side of things, not the Twitter side of things. And it's called Selective.
Have you been corrected? Warlock's done something in the chat. What's that?
Elroy let me know. Warlock and Elroy were pointing it out.
Gee, they're onto you.
Warlock also called me a pedant, which I'll take as a compliment.
A what?
A pedant. He called me pedantic. He called me pedantic.
A pedant.
Okay. HTC suing Apple over patents. You know the great patent war that they've all got? My patent's better than your patent, and so say all of us, we're just going to buy them so you can't do stuff, and if you do stuff, you're going to give us some money for it anyway.
Yeah, which is the real reason why Google bought Motorola that we were talking about earlier.
Absolutely.
My patent could beat your patent in a fight.
Yeah, let's take them outside and
my
let them loose.
My patent's car goes faster than your patent's car.
While Lena and Andrew's patents step outside, we continue with the news.
I was just going to let you know that smartphone maker HTC has sued Apple, seeking a halt to US imports and sales of Macintosh computers, iPads, iPods and iPhones and other devices because of alleged patent infringements.
Graham, I went out of my way to be as detailed in the news as I possibly could about the nature of the patent infringements because I know it's something that upsets you.
Very good. I didn't listen to the news.
That's
actually.
Okay. It was still...
I listen to it when I do the podcast.
It was still frustratingly vague. Oh. I'm sorry, because no one thinks that it's important to put that level of detail in their media releases.
No, to actually say what the argument's about. No, we'll just say there's an argument and it's about a patent and we won't say what it's the patent of.
Yeah, it's to do with their mobile devices or something. Yeah. And that's about as detailed as I could get, unfortunately.
It's on a need-to-know really basis, annoying. Isn't it?
It is.
Yeah,
it is
only those legal people within the organisations concerned or named need to know.
But I promise I tried.
Thank you for trying.
Now, in the UK at the moment, there are a group of Britons who have rallied together to embark upon building its own gigabit fibre network. The Britons are ganging up together because they've had enough of what's been on offer, so they're going to build their own.
Are they allowed to?
I don't know.
Because they're not allowed to in Australia anymore.
Well, there you go. The Broadband for the Rural North, which is called the B4RN project, established by Lancashire University Professor Barry Ford, ultimately hopes to offer a symmetrical 1 gigabit service for around £30 a month.
Phenomenal.
They're going to build their own. I don't know how they're going to get it into the ground and do all that. Maybe it's wireless. But it's fibre, isn't it? It's fibre to the Rural North. So they've got to dig a hole somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be out with their little tractors digging holes between their headings.
They'll carry a license and be allowed to dig a hole.
That's probably different over there than what it is here, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's really good for an entrepreneur. Rather than being like over here, you have to wait for some telco to come dragging cable or fibre optic through you. You know,
I want to hear more about this, if nothing else, because they have wonderful accents up in that part of the world.
Do they?
In the north of England.
Oh, very good. Yes, the other interesting news too, police busting a skimming ring during the course of the week. Don't know whether that made the news. Yeah, you know the cards that you put into your teller machine and they have little cameras and they grab your dits as you do your PIN numbers. A big gang got done.
Police where? Where was the gang?
It was in Australia and predominantly in New South Wales. But what I find, the point that I was going to make was that why do they have to come all the way to Australia to pick on us when they can do it from wherever they're from? There's other countries closer to them than potentially what we are. It's because we have such a... inadequate, secured ATM type sort of thing, because it's all to do with the chips. Apparently you need the chips or something in the card. I haven't looked into it.
No idea. It depends what type of skimming they were doing.
Well, just the barcode-y thing across the top of where you stick your card into the ATM and capturing your PIN number, because we don't have the smarts on our system, I don't think.
Well, some of us do.
Some do. Does that mean some are safer than others?
I don't know.
Let's do a straw poll. You got a CC pointing Dr. Ron. Do you have a chip?
Chip and PIN.
Chip and
pin, on some cards, but not others.
Oh, there you go. Lena, you chip and pin?
Chip.
Chip. Chip and pin?
Chip and sign.
Yes, I'll sign. Yeah.
Oh, you don't, do you?
I do.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Only because I'm too lazy to remember what the pin is.
Oh, really?
You're a disgrace.
I am.
You could go something simple. Pattern, maybe.
Puts the onus back on the vendor if you sign it.
Oh, he's got it out now.
No chip. No,
yours is chipless. I've got one from the same organisation with a chip.
With a chip, oh,
your
okay.
Sans chip.
That one's also without a chip.
That is
without PayWave. And that one's got both the chip and the PayWave.
Fancy. A little bit fancy, that one. PayWave. A little bit fancy.
So what's on the chip that identifies you or makes it safer to use? Obviously,
I've got the foggiest idea.
We should find out.
As far as I know, the only difference is you plug it in the other end of the machine.
Yeah, it's very frustrating for some people that use IE. But that's another story.
I wish they were all the same.
I wish ATMs, like
FPOS terminal things were all the same. Because I'm sick of going to one shop and swipe it a certain way. And the other shop, face it the other way. And over this shop, you've got to put the chip insert in the front. And then over this one, you've got to do this. And
what,
this
because
is a pay
it's
wave, and this
too
is
hard to look at the little diagram that shows you which way around to put it.
If I'm... Experiencing the rush of retail therapy, I do not want to be messing around with what way I swipe a card. Just give me the damn thing.
You don't even have to look at the diagram. You can see which side the head is on.
No, they are all very different sometimes, and it's annoying.
Sometimes.
And I wish that they were all the same, and it was all, exactly the same machine in every shop.
Odd spot gadget and website of the week after this.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show. Tech Talk Radio.
You've got to remember that compression is not your friend.
Is it for credit cards only, or is it FBOS as well?
Steve Wozniak, there was
the traitor.
I'm down to four cables again, not 14,000.
Go away.
Click here to upgrade.
If you put your entire life online, you get what you deserve in some ways.
Optus have said sorry, and so say all of us. Fantastic.
This
all right.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why you can't have nice things.
Entertaining, informative, independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! Oh, this thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Out of my hole!
I am literally wearing this week's Gadget of the Week.
Well, that's no good for radio, Dr. Ron.
Get a photo. There it is.
Oh, my!
Let me describe it, because I'm probably front and centre of Dr. Ron. He's wearing a black T-shirt with a insignia on the front of it, which is actually glowing. It is powered by something, and it says at the bottom, there's a little radio tower in the middle, and it says 802.11. What is all that about, Dr. Ron?
Full frontal nerdity.
Yep.
Full frontal nerdity, yes.
802.11 is the standard for wireless data communications.
Well picked up, Graham. This is, in fact, a live functioning Wi-Fi detector T-shirt.
Why hasn't it got the Wi-Fi network name, the SSID on it, which Graham and I have been talking about last week?
Come on, Andrew. Does nothing please you?
You could embarrass yourself out there in public.
very easily.
People would deliberately change the name of their network just to embarrass. So
quick, give me your phone, Dad. I want to create a hotspot and put something really rude there. Come up on Dr. Ron's T-shirt.
This is a cotton fabric T-shirt with a front panel wireless logo that glows when you're standing in front of a or in range of a wireless hotspot. It detects signals from nearby 802.11b or G access points.
What about N?
And the, no, it doesn't do N.
Oh,
and
damn.
The 10 bars glow to show indicative signal strength. You need 3 AAA batteries, which are not included. It's machine washable, available in small, medium, large, and extra large. $15 on ThinkGeek.com.
Should take a photo and I'll put it up on TwitPic while I'm doing... Oh, whoops. Keep talking.
But the international freight...
Don't make me panel, all right? Can you talk a bit longer?
I can talk a bit longer for you. The international freight's going to kill you, though. $36 to Australia. That was the cheapest freight that ThinkGeek would do. So all up, it was around about $50. But yeah, we have it, Andrew. That is this week's gadget.
Hang on.
Standing by. There we go. It'll be TwitPic in a few moments.
That looks really bad. I'll put that up on Twitter.
We do have a wireless hotspot in the studio here, so it is glowing. It has been flickering over the course of the show. And Graham, has turned a Wi-Fi hotspot on his phone.
Oh, is that why it's gone full scale?
And he's moving the phone towards my chest and away from my chest. And he's watching the bars go up
except
and down.
I can't see them from this angle, so
I'll have to swivel.
Are the bars up or down? No, you can't see them. But
the bars are full scale.
They're all up there. There's nothing else you can do with it, really. Hang on, I'm going to do another photo because it just looks really wicked. So,
you should get one. It's even though it's nearly $50 to Australia, it's...
Combine it with something else cool from ThinkGeek.
Well, you should. Yeah, that's right.
That's the way to
stock up. You know, you do your ThinkGeek order once every few months or once every six months.
Buy a plush companion cube.
Yes.
Buy a companion
cube.
What else do they have all those sorts of good things? I'm going to do another one.
Presents.
Can you buy an angry bird? Where did you get your angry bird from, Andy?
Oh, I got my angry bird from Target.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. Well, don't buy an angry bird. Buy, what about one of those... those sleeping bags with the, the TomTom sleeping bag. Yeah.
Well, what's a TomTom sleeping bag?
The TomTom, the thing that Han Solo cut open to keep Luke warm when he was dying of cold.
At the start of The Empire Strikes Back.
Episode 5 in the Star Wars, inappropriately named Star Wars trilogy. And there's a handle thing attached to the zip so that when what you do is you grab it's actually a lightsaber. So you grab the lightsaber and then you go zoomp like that.
Down
the zip.
No,
and it looks like you're, cutting open the tauntaun.
Yeah.
Do you want me to stop padding now?
Yeah.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio Website of the Week.
Thank you, Sammy, for the suggestion for this week's website, www.uhfcb.com.au. If you're a radio enthusiast, maybe you've tinkered with UHF-CB. It's still very much alive and well in Australia. This website claims to be Australia's leading online UHF-CB radio resource and reference website and provides UHF-CB radio operators up-to-date news and reviews as well as the best deals on the latest radios and accessories.
That's a free thing, isn't it?
Very much so. It is.
You don't need a license to use CB or anything.
You don't need a license anymore. No, you can just walk into an electronic store and you can
anymore,
buy a radio.
You're going back a long way.
I am showing my age, and you can just start using it. One thing I thought was interesting on this website is that there are now 80 channels in the UHF CB band.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
40.
Yep, and there's channels that you're not allowed to use that are reserved for data, and there's all kinds of interesting developments since
I thought the internet had fixed all this sort of stuff, but obviously not. There's still more of it out there.
There's heaps of it out there. It's here to stay.
All right.
That's our website, Andrew. www.uhfcb.com.au.
And before we move on, did you know that thanks to emails from listeners, one in particular, there's now a website of the week page on our website. You follow the link and you can see all the websites of the week in one easy to consume, easy to digest page. You can click the link and follow the one you want.
So if you're trying to remember that one from a few weeks back, it'll be there.
All on there, on the website of the week types of stuff. Anyway, go and have a look.
Talk Radio, App of the Week.
I believe I have the App of the Week this week.
You do have the App of the Week. Take it away.
Boxy. Not the Boxy Box, just Boxy for the iPad. It's the same software.
The iPad Boxy app.
Yeah, that's the one. It's the same software that goes on the box, and it just means that you can... Everything you would normally get on the Boxy Box, which is the D-Link sort of media hub, media station thing, you can actually now get on the iPad. Which is good, which means you can watch movies and stream things from your a device, computer, on your home network or on the internet through to your iGadget or your iPad in this case if you've got the iPad thing, which is really good. And for those of you who followed along our website of the week last week, I can thoroughly recommend. There's a lot of converts out there for unblockus.us where it basically removes the geo-blocking from your device, which means you can watch anything anywhere in the world at any particular point in time. We had a cameraman come into work today who I've near and dear to us. And I said, how about pay TV? Replace your Foxtel for $5 a month. He thought that was a great idea. Showed him how. And he couldn't wait to get out of the place fast enough to go and do it. So if he had an iPad, which he has, and he loaded up the boxy software on that, he could watch his Hulu, he could watch his Netflix, he could watch his BBC, anything else he wanted to at the same point in time.
Jolly good.
Have you gone down that path yet, Dr. Ron?
I have. I put the Unblock Us settings into my media centre.
Oh, yes.
And I did a before and after test, and I was impressed. I was watching programs on BBC online straight away. It was good.
All right, so there you go. That's the app of the week. You can get it on the iTunes store. Come on, click on our website, the Boxy for iPad.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
Ma, the meatloaf!
Bon. James Bond.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
It's been revealed that the writer of the movie The Social Network only created a Facebook profile just to find out what it was all about. Aaron Sorkin, yeah, the writer of The West Wing, as well as The Social Network, is not a fan of Facebook. The movie, which depicts the rise to fame of Facebook and its co-founders, was enormously successful, and actor Jesse Eisenberg, who played Mark Zuckerberg, was even nominated for an Oscar. But Aaron Sorkin recently described himself as just this side of Luddite, and added he had barely heard of Facebook. I've heard of it in the way I've heard of a carburetor. That's our odd spot this week, Andrew.
Oh, really? Oh, that's it, is it?
But, oh, I'm sorry. Did you want me to...
No. He's a very good writer, Mr. Sorkin.
He's an excellent writer.
Sorry, I was just admiring your photo up on TweetPic of the gadget of the week.
He's distracted himself.
Sorry. He's wilfed himself.
It's a bit like Graham playing games when Lena's on talking about games, you know? It's the same sort of thing. I'm sorry, Dr. Ron. I should have paid more attention.
No, that's quite all right. That's odd spot, Andrew. Mr. Sorkin, who doesn't get social networking, doesn't understand Facebook.
Doesn't he? Okay. Well, that about wraps up our show. Until next week, I can say. It's been wonderful. Thank you, Linesman. Thank you, Ball Boys. Don't forget, feedback.techtalkradio.com.au. If you're online listening to us, chat.techtalkradio.com.au. Come and let us know that you're listening. Say where you are, to which part of this world you're in.
Sign up to our weekly email newsletter as well. We've revitalized the newsletter.
Yeah, we have.
There's a link on the webpage.
Yes, you can. Till then, sign up. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, regular panellists Graham Callaghan, Mark Diggins and Lena Van Deventer. Expert opinion from Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by GC Support and Shaq West. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and around the world that broadcast the show. Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. Contact us for the two-hour version or access the one-hour show on the Community Radio Network. Visit cbaa.org.au for further details. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03-8682-9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. Don't forget, you can follow the panellists on Twitter, join us live each Monday night in the Tech Talk Radio chat, and solve your issues on the Tech Talk Radio forum. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.